This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire for Friday, September 10th. What a game last night. Oh my goodness. Tampa Bay survives against Dallas, 31-29. Just a phenomenal start to the NFL season. When they release the TV rating today, it's going to be astronomical. I mean, the game was, first, outrageously good, and second, it went down to the wire. Tom Brady delivers on the final drive. Ryan Succop hits the game winner. Obviously, if Dallas's kicker had made an extra point and one of the two field goals he missed, Cowboys would have gotten the win. Just an awesome start to the NFL season. I got to say, I know you don't care about fantasy, but my son, first time playing fantasy, had Amari Cooper. And Amari Cooper was like projected for 10 points. Amari Cooper went absolutely bananas against the Bucs. And listen, this is the story. Like, the Cowboys passing game was ridiculous. Michael Gallup did get hurt. You're going to have to file that one away. You look at the targets. Cooper, 16 targets. CeeDee Lamb, 15. All they did was throw the ball. The overarching obvious point here is Dallas, I thought, played about as well as you can possibly play against the defending Super Bowl champs, who, you know, supposed to be in the mix to go undefeated, and they lose by two. Just consider this. Dallas won the turnover battle 4-1. Tampa had four turnovers. Even if you want to dismiss the Hail Mary at the end of the half, fine, three turnovers. Tampa Bay penalties, 11 for 106. Dallas had more yards. They had more first downs. They were better on third down. Folks, Dallas played about as good as possible, and they still lost the game. My overall takeaway from this is Tampa did not look particularly sharp, still scored 31 points, still won the game. Brady delivered late. I just don't see how you can have any real... I know people are going to be reaching for, like, you know, to cut through today, first Friday after the season opener. People are going to want to have all these scorching hot takes. The bottom line is, like, Dallas played a pretty damn smart game. I love the gameplay. Kellen Moore was in his bag early. I mean, Dak Prescott getting rid of the ball quickly. Sure, he couldn't really throw the ball downfield. A couple mistakes going anything beyond like 15, 20 yards. But this is the first time he's thrown a football in a real live game, at live action since, what, last October? He played no preseason games. He looked pretty damn good. 42 of 58. Now, you know, I'm sure there's some cynical Cowboys fans out there. Why is he throwing 58 times? Well, you can't run the ball against this defense. You saw that. It was a fool's errand. Like, they could not get Zeke on track. They decided early, let's just abandon that. They brought it back a little in the second half to slow things down when the Dallas defense just kept getting gashed. And listen, you could easily argue Tampa should have had 45 points. Godwin dropping a touchdown pass over the shoulder in the fourth quarter. Godwin fumbling at the two-yard line. And it's weird because I thought Brady looked really good. And folks, you can say, oh, he's 44, he's going to fall off a cliff. Listen, since I've been on TV out here at FS1, 2016, all anybody has said is, well, Brady's getting old. Father Time never loses. This is like clockwork every August. Now, for five straight Augusts. And Brady starts 32 of 50, 379, four TDs. He did have the two picks. One, by the way, was, I believe one was off the hands of Fournette. The four turnovers were none attributed to Brady, okay? You had the fumble by Ronald Jones, poked out, great poke job by DeMarcus Lawrence. Then you had the screen pass to Leonard Fournette. I think it just went off his hands. You got to catch that. Then you had the Hail Mary, which, you know, whatever, it's a Hail Mary. And then you had Godwin fumbling at the two. So I don't want to hear this, oh, Brady wasn't very sharp. Like, Brady was really good. And that back shoulder throw to Godwin on the final drive to set up the field goal, money. Guys, you want to go ahead and look at this Tom Brady schedule coming up. They got the Falcons at home next week. They get a trip to the Rams, which is going to be a national TV game. And that they were supposed to be one-point underdogs in that one. That's the only game all season they're supposed to be underdogs. And then the Patriots on Sunday Night Football. If Tampa starts 4-0, this undefeated narrative, this Tom Brady MVP of 44, all that goes into overdrive. Because after that, folks, it eases up big time. And for the Bucs to steal that win, we had TA on yesterday. Hope you guys listened to that. A lot of good gambling nuggets. He liked Dallas getting the points. I said the over. Both easily cashed. Although, I guess you could argue Godwin fumbling at the two would have put Tampa up 9 or 10 if they went for two. Dallas could have still come in the back door. They probably would have gone prevent defense, but it's just great to have football back. The game was tremendous. Collinsworth and Al Michaels, I actually listened to more than I normally do. Usually I just got the game on mute and doing 10 things, but it's the first game of the season. If you're a Dallas fan, the one big concern is, oh my gosh, Antonio Brown torched us. Oh my gosh, we're supposed to have these great linebackers, and Gronk just ate all day over the middle of the field. I mean, Micah Parsons was just getting, I mean, he got put in a spin cycle on coverage. There's a funny clip floating around on Twitter of Micah Parsons basically doing like a spinaroo, just having no idea, wait, are they running it? Oh no, I got to be defending this guy. Wait, he's not there. I got to go here. Micah Parsons looked lost at times. Van Der Esch, it was just pedestrian. I don't know if they said Jalen Smith's name all night. And then, of course, the real interesting piece of this is I drafted Tony Pollard, I think, in all my fantasy leagues because Zeke has been trending downward for 3 years now. And Ezekiel Elliott, 11 carries, 33 yards. Okay? Tony Pollard, 4 catches, 29 yards. Zeke Elliott, 2 catches, 6 yards. Tony Pollard didn't quite have as many touches as Zeke, but you can see it's way closer than it used to be. The days of Zeke being a 25 carry back are done. It's just not happening anymore. And frankly, Dallas looked better in the up-tempo. That's the only way you can hang with this juggernaut that is Tampa. So overall, listen, Dallas did just about as, played as well as you could. I don't want to say they own the stat sheet, but if you look at the numbers, like, they should have won that game. What really hurt them is 1-for-4 in the red zone. I didn't love the play calling. Kellen Moore had, on first down, he had Dak do like a keeper. I'm like, dude, he's coming off a gruesome leg injury. You're doing a keeper in the red zone? And then on third down, they pitched it to Zeke. The tight end whiffed on the block. I think it was Schultz, maybe. And Zeke got wrapped up. You know, red zone leaves something to be desired. They don't really have a tight end in the red zone. CD Lamb, obviously, is a nice weapon out of the slot. He did have a case of the dropsies. Cost him an interception that was not really Dak's fault on the replay. But overall, tremendous game. And I'll be honest, like Dallas going toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champs who returned all 22 starters, Dak not playing in the preseason, missing your best offensive lineman and Zach Martin. That's a pretty damn good performance by the Dallas Cowboys, Rob G. You had to be impressed.
I don't know if impressed is the word I would use to describe that performance. I thought that, number one, I thought they blew it at the end. You know, I thought that they played, like you said, about as well as they possibly could. And then as soon as you saw that Tampa Bay had a minute left and all they needed was a field goal, you knew it was over.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
I mean, their secondary is terrible. And I know you pointed out the red zone 1-for-4 being a big thing, and that's true. But they also gave up 430 yards in just 25 minutes of defensive possession. I mean, Tampa Bay could have hung up 50 were it not for, in whatever reason, Stonehands, Leonard Fournette screen pass. You know, I mean, Tampa Bay had 11 penalties, 4 turnovers. They were shooting themselves in the foot all game, and I never really felt like they weren't in control because when they had the ball, they could do pretty much whatever they wanted to Dallas. The Cowboys look like they are going to be that team, just like my Raiders last year. In fantasy football, you're going to be very excited because your team is going to score a lot of points, whether it's Dak Prescott throwing it all around or Zeke, you know, one of these games is probably going to get unlocked and run for a 125 and 2 touchdowns. You're going to be really happy with them, and then you're going to go against them on their defense, and the other team's going to light them up too. That's exactly what's going to happen throughout the season. So in fantasy football, if it's a Dallas Cowboys game, you're going to be excited because there's going to be a lot of points scored. If it's real football, you're going to be wildly disappointed because they are a mediocre 500-ish team.
That's harsh. Well, wait a sec. Hold on. So Dallas, 3rd and 11, 2 minutes left. I'm sorry, it was not third. It was 3rd and 11 from their own 35. And then Dak delivers. Big play to CeeDee Lamb. At that point, didn't you think, well, wait a minute, Dallas could pull this off?
Not really, because I didn't think they were actually going to score the touchdown there. Like, they I think they only had, what was it, like 5 penalties
Well, the holding penalty
eight,
on third
eight
down.
Penalties. Yeah, eight penalties. Eight penalties at 55 yards. But the problem was that where they made the mistakes were at the worst times. Like, before the half, Dak Prescott taking a sack. Like, that's just a dumb mistake to make. You know what I mean? Early on in the game, I think it might have been the second drive after Tampa Bay had marched down and scored. Dallas is coming right back, and CeeDee Lamb has a wide open pass on like second and 10, and he just drops it. So they have to punt from deep in their own end zone. And then, of course, Tampa Bay comes and scores a touchdown right back. Like, these plays feel like they're small and insignificant in the moment until you take a step back and look at it, and you're like, oh, well, that was a big swing right there. Well, that was a big swing right there. And they make a series of those plays every game, it feels like.
The problem is there's no room for error if the offense does that when the defense is so
exactly
bad. I just looked at this, Rob. Sacks of Tom Brady, zero. Tackles for loss. Is the defensive line getting any push, getting in the backfield? Zero. Okay. Tom Brady threw 50 passes. You want to guess how many times he was hit or they registered his hits?
Twice.
That's it. He got hit twice. 50 pass attempts, and he got hit twice. Like, they're getting no push whatsoever. I don't know how you remedied that. And frankly, like, I mean, I guess Dan Quinn could take some hits, but then he could just be like, yo, GM, you got me four linebackers? In an era where we have, like, no edge rush, their leading tacklers were their cornerback and their safety, and then their rookie, and then their safety slash linebacker. I mean, you could argue if the Bucs played a little crisper, didn't cough it up, Godwin was a little more secure at the ball, they win this by three touchdowns, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that they're going to say no, but I think if you were to ask Mike McCarthy with a little bit of truth serum, hey, do you regret not letting Micah Parsons play more in the preseason? That he might say yes. Because, like you mentioned before, they were abusing him in the middle of the field. He looked so lost out there with what Tampa Bay was doing. They weren't even doing a whole lot of complex stuff. Any play action, he's biting. Anytime that Gronk got on his hip, it was over. And Gronk's not even fast anymore. But this kid looks so out of his element playing against real NFL speed for the first time because they limited his snaps so much in the preseason.
And he didn't play last
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
I mean, this guy, I mean, like, it's going to be a steep learning curve. Now, listen, if you're Dallas, there was a brief moment where you're like, holy cow, 1-0 against Tampa. We're going to pull this off. And then now you lose, and then you look at the schedule, and you're like, okay, we had to travel to Tampa. Now we go home, we got to travel to the Chargers, Justin Herbert, and this is where it gets scary. Nick Bosa, is Nick Bosa the one on the Chargers? No, that's Joey Bosa. I'm sorry. Joey Bosa, Derwin James, assuming these guys don't get hurt in week one against Washington. And that kind of becomes a must win because, Rob G., then in week three, you get the Eagles Sunday night, or maybe it's Monday night. No, it's Monday night primetime, and you can't lose that divisional game and go 0-3. So, I mean, I didn't project Dallas to have a win in the opener, but they were so close that it almost feels like, damn, you don't want to say that they're really automatically contending, but I don't know, Rob. Dak looked pretty darn good for coming off that injury and not playing any in the preseason. I thought the offense was crisp. You're right, just the red zone meltdowns kind of killed him. And any other big picture takeaways from the Cowboys loss, or would you call it, did the Cowboys lose that or did Tampa just win it because of the final drive?
Ooh, I think Dallas lost it because Tampa Bay throughout the game was doing everything in their power to lose that game. You know, it felt like one of those ring ceremony nights you see in the NBA where these guys are just kind of basking in the glory and they're not really locked in the way they should be. And, you know, the penalties were one thing. The just uncharacteristic turnovers at the way that they happened. It wasn't like, oh, it was a misread, a miscommunication. It was just a dumb, you know, Leonard Fournette bounced right off his hands. I mean, Ronald Jones not having two hands on the football when he's running through a pile. These are fundamental mistakes that they were making. And Dak Prescott looked great. Their offense looked like they couldn't be stopped. And even still, as much as like I felt like Tampa was always going to win, when the other team is playing that poorly and making those kinds of mistakes, it's up to you to just not screw it up on yourselves. And the 1-for-4 on the red zone is what did you in. And then the untimely, you know, sack or penalty is just, I feel like Dallas should have won that game. They just didn't.
I'll close with this. And I have nothing against him, but Tom Brady's not slowing down at 44. I just saw no regression at all. There's no sign of it. None.
Well, are they the team that would expose any kind of his flaws, Dallas?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's a very easy schedule for him. Next week, let's see Aaron Donald, what he can... Or, I'm sorry, in 2 weeks, Aaron Donald. Next week, it's the Falcons, which is another pushover defense that he's just going to dominate. But if you can't get a push, and that Bucs offensive line, remember, they were dominant last year. Dominant in the playoffs. I mean, Tristan Wirfs, incredible rookie campaign. Like, if you can't get to him, he's just going to pick you apart the weapons. Like, Mike Evans, did Mike Evans do anything in that game?
No.
The total non-factor. No. He's like one of the 10 best receivers in the league. Yeah, Mike Evans had 6 targets, 3 catches, 24 yards. I mean, basically, if Antonio Brown can play at that level, like just dusting cornerbacks, Godwin, Gronk. I mean, O.J. Howard, I'm seeing he didn't even play. And then if you notice, Gio Bernard.
O.J. Howard did play. I think he only played 6 snaps.
Oh,
yes, I saw someone put a stat out there that O.J. Howard, fully healthy, played as many snaps as Ronald Jones, who got pulled after that fumble.
Yeah, I know. But my son was facing him in fantasy. He was so excited. That's interesting that O.J. Howard only played 6 snaps. I thought they would like hold on to Gronk for later in the season, so he's primed for the playoffs. I don't know. Maybe this was just like a big game against a good team, and O.J. Howard will eat next week, or they'll rotate it. But this team has just too many weapons.
Yeah, well,
it's like, you know, I don't know if there's a great analogy, it just came to me, but they're kind of Golden State Warriors-ish, where it's like, oh, well, Klay could go for 40 tonight. Curry probably will get 30. KD might drop 50 on you. And it's just like, Draymond Green's going to have a triple-double. Like, they were so loaded. When Brady drops back, he's got an embarrassment of riches. I mean, Antonio Brown was practically out of the league, was he not, 2 years ago with your Raiders? Or was that last year? I've already forgotten.
It was two years ago. But it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't because he couldn't play. So that's just
no. I know, but he was such a jerk.
Yeah.
Remember, he had all those lawsuits, and Sports Illustrated wrote a bunch of stuff. Like,
yes.
He was like feuding with the people who moved him, and he didn't want to pay them, and he baby mama drama. Like, Antonio Brown's out, 33 years old, and I don't know. Did he look like the best receiver on the Bucs? I kind of thought he did. I mean, he looked better than Evans and Godwin.
Well, I think if he knew the playbook last season, he would have been the best receiver on the Bucs. Antonio Brown is a monster. I have one thing to say about the Bucs. I don't want to sound like a hater. I'm not trying to be negative, but let me just say that if Tom Brady has to throw the ball 50 times a game, they are not going to be a Super Bowl team.
That's fair.
That's not his game anymore. He's very good on the play action. He's very good when he can turn his back to the defense and then whip his head around and get you for that 15-yard across the middle. But it's just that this Cowboys defense is so horrible that it didn't really affect him.
Yeah. I wonder how many offenses like Dallas can hang with the Buccaneers. It's going to be tough. Like, you really, if Tampa gets up 2 scores on you or 3 scores, then it's just say goodnight. It's going to be Fournette. It's going to be Jones. And their offensive line is awesome. I mean, this team is, they played like a C game tonight. Would you say that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And they won. That's a little scary for the rest of the league. All right, let's get to our best bets, NFL and college football, for the weekend.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
All right, it's time to get to picks. Week 1 in the NFL. Got off to a great start with the easy, easy winner on the over 51.5, Dallas-Tampa. We talked about it yesterday's podcast. I mean, you know, folks, this went over 51.5 late third quarter. It was cake. Those feel good. Those feel really, really good. When they sail over, no sweat, fourth quarter, you don't have to worry about anything. You just move on. You can help put the kids to bed and do all that fun stuff that dads do. Hashtag dad life. All right. I just want a disclaimer on week 1. Guys, listen, it's easy to think that you love so many games on the card and you want to hammer the board. You want to play like 12 bets. And I've kind of fallen into that trap. I have written down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 bets. Sides or totals. I have a big money line parlay, and I have a teaser, And that doesn't include the tickets I got in Vegas, a little more money on several games. I don't recommend that. You know, I've been doing this a little longer than some of you folks, so I have a little bit of a different bankroll situation, and I'm going to give you my picks, but I'm just, when you get the number matters significantly. For instance, I got Denver -2.5 earlier this week. Now, as we get closer to game time, you can't find the 2.5. It's 3 everywhere. Do I like Denver on the road, favored by 3 with Teddy Bridgewater and Vic Fangio? Like, that's insane. If it dips back down to 2.5, is it worth it? Is it worth it to pay some extra juice? I don't like to pay the extra juice. If you see a 2.5, I would jump on Denver. I think they win this game outright. Feels like 17-13. I got the Denver defense. I got the Denver kicker. We gave you the Teddy Bridgewater what numbers. I think he's 21-3 against the spread on the road as a starting quarterback. Like, that's what he does. He doesn't make mistakes. He keeps it clean and close. But again, we're talking about the Denver Broncos on the road as favorites. Like, I would love them in a dog spot, but such is life. I made the bet. Jets Carolina, game we talked about with TA yesterday, over 44.5. Jets don't have anything cooking on defense. I know they could probably get some pressure with the defensive line, but their linebackers are going to get murdered in space by McCaffrey, and their secondary is going to get torched by Robbie Anderson and that gang. First to 30 probably wins, and I know that sounds high given a low total of 44.5, but the Jets are going to come out throwing. LaFleur with the play action, like, this is a lot of stuff Wilson's done dating back to college. Without question, they're going to move the football on this Carolina defense. Like, you look at, like, Dante Jackson, good cornerback. J.C. Horn, rookie. But the linebackers definitely don't scare the Jets. Can they get to the second level? I don't know. But I think we're gonna be surprised by what the Jets have offensively. This is not Adam Gase and Sam Darnold last year. It feels to me like 30-27, probably Carolina. I would lean toward taking the Jets and the points. But I like the over 44.5. I bet this, I've talked about this for a week now. When, right before it started, Mac Jones was named the starter, it felt like it was going that way. I thought that this would tick up. So I got Patriots favored by 3. It has come down to 2.5. I don't get it, guys. I just don't get it. I don't like anything about the Dolphins this year. I've made that abundantly clear multiple times on the pod. Patriots are better defensive line. Patriots are better offensive line. Remember, left tackle for the Dolphins, Austin Jackson in COVID protocol, unlikely to play. Tua against Belichick. Like, come on. I know that the great cornerback Gilmore out for the Patriots. And I saw another guy in the injury report that's also not great. And I saw Aguilar's on there. Again, it's Bill Belichick in an opener with tons of time to prepare. Okay? Look what they did last year to Fitzpatrick in the opener. Patriots rolled him. It was easy. Now, I think that was a bit of a healthy cam, but I think Mac gives him better options. I got the Patriots favored by 3. If you can get 2.5, I like that even better. I bet Seattle at 2. I got it at 2.5. Listen, I don't love anybody going on the road favored by 3. That's tough. But we're talking about Russell Wilson, who's incredible. By the way, his September hotness the last 2 years. 7-1 record, 23 touchdowns, 1 interception. I mean, you give me the edge. Huge edge. Russell Wilson. Carson Wentz. Like, if Carson Wentz gets the ball late and they're down a touchdown, do you have any faith in him coming back? None. None whatsoever. This Colts secondary, I think, is a little bit overrated. People really thought the Colts defense was awesome last year. Go look at who they faced. And big, big injury news for the Colts are number one cornerback, Xavier Rhodes, who was top 10 according to Pro Football Focus last year. Okay? He has not practiced yet this week. If he's out, your options to contend with DK Metcalf on the outside are Rakia Sin and 2020 seventh round pick Bo Pete Keys. Never heard of him. I think Seattle, I like Seattle a lot. I don't love it as much at 3 as I love it at 2 and 2.5, but I have Seattle. I also have Atlanta favored by 3. I'm feeling less confident about this now because a lot of just square bettors, people who I don't really respect their picks a lot. They are also on Atlanta. This is not a huge play for me. I think the Falcons are going to be good. I'm a believer in Arthur Smith. Listen, what he did with Tannehill, and now he's got Matt Ryan, Ridley, We'll see how the offensive line holds up. I like the two tight ends. I like Atlanta, favored by 3 at home. I took the over in KC Cleveland. I don't think we need to go into that. I wanted to make a case for the Browns, but I'm going to go ahead and pass on that. I took the over in Minnesota Cincinnati. I know it's a lot of overs, right? That's 1, 2, 3 overs if you include the Buccaneers Cowboys. That's another over. So I unders were popular last year. I know COVID, no fans, condensed lead in. There was no preseason. Like, I don't know. It was a bit risky to go so many overs here. I just think every game to me feels a little short. Minnesota, Cincinnati, just look at the depth chart on the secondary. Holy hell. Cincinnati's top cornerback is out. Yeah. And finally, Denver, favored by 3. I already said Denver. All right. The teaser that I like. And if you remember last year in the playoffs, what was straight cash, homie, was teasers. They were automatic. Okay. The teaser that's an obvious layup. Tampa Bay, San Fran, and the Rams. Those three feel like locks if you want to toss in KC. Now, Tampa's done, so if you want to load up San Francisco and the Rams, San Fran could be in a little bit of a situation with Detroit. I expect them to come out and play hard. I just think Kyle Shanahan against Dan Campbell is a complete mismatch. And remember, this is a San Francisco defense. I know they got rid of Salah. Well, Salah moved on to the Jets, but D'Amico Ryans is the DC. He was in San Fran the last few years. He knows Jared Goff. They know exactly what Goff does well. I think it's a huge edge that people just aren't talking enough about. Like, the familiarity they have will pave the way. And again, it's Dan Campbell and Anthony Lynn against Kyle Shanahan. Who are you taking in that one? So that's a teaser I really like. All right, that's a lot of picks. Probably too many. I don't exactly know yet what I'm going to do in the $4 million contest. I'll eventually post those on social media, but that one, I spend just way too much time Friday night, Saturday morning, just pouring over everything. I will say, I don't think I have the stomach to take the Texans 3.5. I know that you have to take that. You have to. I cannot do that. $4 million contest. And then Tyrod Taylor like lays a massive dud, and I can't. I'm looking at, well, obviously Denver, Atlanta, Seattle, Pittsburgh. I don't like New Orleans this season, but I have to kind of look deeper at them. So that's kind of what I'm scouting. I'll be writing up a piece for Fox Sports that goes up at some point today, outlining some more picks that you guys, you need more picks.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
College football, will buzz through these real quick. Iowa State -4. Another piece I wrote for Fox Sports with my... they want me picking the toughest games of the week, meaning the best games of the week, and those are usually where the least edge is. I think Iowa State, I think they were favored by 7 on the look-ahead, and Iowa rolled and Iowa State struggled, so presto, I get a short line. Iowa State, I get the better team at home. I mean, I'd rather 3. But I'll take the 4. I mean, it's pretty clear that the market is staying on 4 and not going to 3 for a reason. I grabbed some Toledo against Notre Dame, getting 17. Notre Dame in a good letdown spot. And by the way, they had a ton of injuries, especially at linebacker and left tackle, a future pro. Irish are banged up. I could see them kind of sleepwalking through. If you don't want to take Toledo for the full game, take the first half. I took the over on Oregon-Ohio State. I also bet it at 14 when it came out. I don't love 14.5 just because 14 can be, that could be a key number. It's not like a 3 or a 7, but, you keep going down the list and 14's big. Ohio State's going to get 40. The question is Oregon going to get 24? Fun stat I unearthed for Fox Sports. Ohio State had 4 plays of 50-plus yards from scrimmage in week 1. 4. There were teams last year that had 4 for the whole season, like good teams like Auburn, or decent teams like Auburn. Ohio State's just a juggernaut, man. I took a nibble out of Washington. That is a definite hold-your-nose play. Washington Huskies were awful last week, lost to Montana. Nobody wants to bet them at all. That's when I'll go in on Washington. In the Big House, fun stat that I saw. Pretty wild. Michigan did not beat a Power 5 team in Ann Arbor last year. You have to go all the way back to 2019. to find a win in the Big House over a Power 5. Now, they beat Western Michigan last week in the Big House. They're not Power 5. Like, pretty interesting that Michigan's been very, very ordinary and pedestrian in recent years. So I also took Utah, favored by 7. I know it's a holy war, huge rivalry. I took it anyway. And my final one for the second week in a row. And again, this is a, hey, I'm on South Alabama. Jay, you want to tell me? Special from a friend. I'm taking South Alabama. Tell me if you want. So that's a lot of NFL picks, guys. I know you just come here for the picks. Everybody wants to fast forward to the end. The process is what leads the day. It's like I tell my kids, like, the more you practice anything, whether it's the flute, whether it's piano, that's how you're going to get better. And if you enhance your practice routine, your results will eventually show up. My process has been getting better and better in gambling. I'm hopeful that this is a monster year for me and for you guys. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.